بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we've been talking about the concept of لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And ultimately this is the whole point, the aim, the goal of this Mubarak month, the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our cherisher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who puts an individual through some trials. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who saves someone from drowning in the depths of the sea. How well do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How well do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the terminology that is used in this deen of ours is called gaining ma'rifat. Ultimately, to really know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the capacity, the capability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. In the case of the majority of us, we have a superficial understanding of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So the question I'm asking is, how well do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In our morning session, the ta'lim that we are doing, the discussion that is going on is being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. This in other terms is known as mashiyate ilahi. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts things in place for an individual and allows this individual to benefit from his or her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how well do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this Mubarak month, by prescribing fasting to us, and with the aim of the fasting, the psalm being to achieve a level of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In the ahadith, if you look, there is a hadith of Jibreel. It's a lengthy hadith. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was extremely clean. He was dressed in white. His hair was combed very well. He looked like a a very well-groomed person. And he came in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. Obviously the Sahaba had not seen him before. They were all astonished to see this strange individual appear in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ being sat there with the Sahaba ikram, he comes in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ and he sits knee to knee with Rasulullah ﷺ and asks Rasulullah ﷺ, "Mal iman, mal man, mal iman, mal Islam, and mal ihsan." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach the Sahaba kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, subhanallah, what an error that was. Upon the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of the Azwaj commented that now the doors of the angel to come are now closed, what a time it was when the angel would come and Rasulullah ﷺ would receive revelation, wahi. And this was happening in the presence of the Sahaba. So the question that was being asked is, what is Ihsan? In short, Ihsan is a level of attaining awareness. Awareness of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While we're sitting here, some of you are aware that I'm here, I'm sitting and I'm talking. Some of you are in a state of slumber. Some of you are in a state of absolutely somewhere else in your mind. None of us, be it we're sitting together and something is being spoken of, but each and every one of us is in a different state. The state of awareness allows an individual to be wary that I'm in the presence and something is being spoken of, and I should be paying absolute and complete attention to it. That's awareness. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, in the company of Rasulullah ﷺ, were very aware. Whenever they felt or they realized that wahi is coming down upon Rasulullah ﷺ, the Sahaba kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in would wait in expectation that now there is going to be a revelation that is being made and some hukam is going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would wait eagerly. That's the word. They would wait eagerly. So la'allakum tattaqoon is attaining a certain level, a certain degree of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's quite simple. Not to do those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do those that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as simple as that. The one way not to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understandable. And the one to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understandable. The part that we don't understand, and we can use this word, is we may say things that fall into the gray area. So you have the green and you have the red, which is clear. You can see it's green, you can go. You can see it's red, you have to stop. But what do you do when there's an orange? And that is what I mentioned the other day in the hadith. Those things that fall into the scope of doubt. How do you deal with them? Do you do it? Don't you do it? let's call it the gray area. Mubarak did not want to take the risk of going into the red. So what did he do? In the gray area, he thought to himself, I'll abstain. You following me? You know where we are now? So he thought, I'll abstain, because I do not have the permission of my master to have the fruit to eat from the pomegranate. So he said to his master, You know, I'm here, I look after the orchard, but you've not given me permission, and nor have I asked for permission, and so I don't taste the fruit, so I don't know how the pomegranate tastes. So I go to the tree, I pick the pomegranate, I split it open, and I bring it in your presence. I don't taste it. The master was so astounded that this man is ajib, strange. It's not normal behavior. It's not actually how people would deal with a situation. Realizing that this man has something special, the master went home and he said to his wife, you know, this orchard keeper of ours, Mubarak, he has a strange quality. It's an ajib quality, it's a very laudable quality, it's a praiseworthy quality. And he discussed this with his wife, because they were looking for a suitor, they were looking for a rishta for their daughter. So he discussed this with his wife, what do you think, should we ask him to become our son-in-law and marry our daughter? So they agreed that they thought, you know, he's a good man. He seems to have a good understanding of things. There's an element of taqwa. There's an element of taqwa which he has. Honesty, trustworthiness. He is not someone that is ever going to betray us, or he's not someone that is ever going to betray his wife. To me and you, it may seem that such a small thing leads to so much, but it's true. In any situation with us as well, when you have a relationship with somebody, the smallest thing can become a means of great betrayal. So they agreed, said, let's give our daughter to him if he agrees. So the next day, the master called Mubarak. Mubarak presented himself, and the master spoke to Mubarak and said, you know, I've been thinking and I'm looking for a rishta for my daughter. So, you know, we would like to offer you the hand of our daughter in marriage. When you consider this situation, and I'm just going to reiterate and repeat what I said day before. He is in charge of the orchard, and he could have felt, and he would maybe rightly so think, well, I'm in charge, and you know, I look after it, I clean it, so it wouldn't hurt for me to have a pomegranate or two on a daily basis, or one every other day, or one every once a week or something. But in that period of time, he had never tasted one. He understood that it was rightfully not his to understand what is rightfully ours and what is rightfully not. That's the big question. When you sit here in Etikaf, what's rightfully yours and what's not yours? Have you ever thought about it? When you go to somebody's house, what's rightfully yours, what's rightfully theirs? Even in your own house, what's rightfully yours, what's not rightfully yours? Take an example. A scissors. A what? A scissors. I need to make sure you're awake. Otherwise, we can all go home and go to sleep. It's a few nights that we spent together talking about the deen and learning about the deen and inshallah, hopefully, making an everlasting change. So a scissors is a simple thing. A scissors is a simple thing. Everyone has a scissors at home, be it a big scissors, small scissors, a kitchen scissors, a tailoring scissors, a clipping scissors, whatever. We have a scissors at home. And we all share it. And each and every one of us knows that the scissors is placed in a certain place. Somebody requires the scissors. They go there, they pick up the scissors, and then they use it. What is the duty upon them after having used the scissors? If they've removed it from one room to go into the other room and they just leave it there, is that correct? Or should they take that scissors back and put it back exactly in the same spot where if somebody else comes looking for it in the next hour, on that day, the day after, they don't have to look for it, they easily know where the scissors is and they find it. Also that falls upon an individual as a duty to fulfill. It is the fulfillment of trusts. It is the fulfillment of trust. The scissors is a general thing. And everyone knows where the scissor stays. It's like here sometimes in the masjid. We know where something is and then all of a sudden we're looking for it, we can't find it. Where is it? The reason being somebody took it from its place and put it somewhere else, not thinking that they are going to inconvenience others and make them look for it. So these things happen at home as well, and I'm using the example of a scissors because it's one of the most simple things. And we tend to, we do that, we'll pick something up like that, we'll use it, and then we'll leave it where we used it. We won't put it back where it should belong. Then what happens? Somebody comes along, a family member, brother, sister, mother, father, they're looking for the scissors. Where's the scissors gone? Taking the scissors and then putting the scissors back in the same place where it should be is a matter of fulfilling a trust, an amana. It is to that level, it is to that degree that we need to understand that la'allakum tattakun dictates as far as that. And if I may say so, even further. That's the smallest example maybe possibly we could use. Okay, I mean, use a needle if you want. Even in our thoughts, even our thoughts need to be regulated. Even our thoughts need to be regulated. And regulating our thoughts in regards to others falls into the category of what we are talking about now, which is la'allakum tattakun. This concept. I mentioned Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayhan. I've always been inspired a lot, alhamdulillah, by the life and the stories of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayh. And I think we should consider it an honor that we have a link with Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayh. Alhamdulillah. The level of wilayat, the piety of Hazrat Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayh is, the more you look into his life, the more you realize, subhanallah, such a wali of Allah. And then his murids as well, respectively, were great walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat had a khanqa, and there was some farmland which Hazrat used to plow with some ox or cows and sow the seeds and harvest it and so on, and then use that wheat which grew there to make a flour and then roti for the murids that would come. And you look at a khanqa and don't think of what you have now. This is very different. Those khanqas were rough me, and we couldn't spend a day there. There were no, comforts, and there were no big dasturkhans with so much food that your mind doesn't even work. And you feed yourself silly. Hazrat Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was very, very, very passionate about doing tabligh. Tabligh of what? Of tasawwuf. And he would travel from one place to another. And how did they travel? They would travel, they didn't have bus, they didn't have train, they didn't have a taxi, they didn't have a car, they didn't have bicycles, they didn't have motorcycles. These people were poor people. And how would they? They would walk from one place to another. And when Hazrat would go for tabligh from one place to another, there would always be a group of murids with Hazrat accompanying him, so that they could serve him during the safar, during the journey, going from one place to another. Have you ever thought, maybe we should do something like that? Walk from one place to another. You'd run away the next day. Oh no, I need a car. Where's the car? Bring the car so we can go in the car. We have changed so much. Well, of course, I mean, we live in a different age. But this comfort that now surrounds us actually spoils us. Alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've been in places where you people wouldn't even think of going. And believe me, sometimes it can be extremely tough. I'm sure Haji Sahib, he's our elder here, he must have experienced many occasions like that. But now, today, the whole environment is changed. There is no element of hardship. We have carpet, alhamdulillah, very nice carpet on the masjid floor. But now, even on top of that, we need to put a mattress when we sleep on it. If we don't have that element of comfort, I can't sleep. MashaAllah, somebody has a blow-up mattress. Somebody has a thick, thick, thick blanket as a mattress. Somebody has a sponge mattress. Ask yourself, what are we really doing? I say, Maulana Brahma is going to sleep. Ninare. Don't blame him, he probably stayed awake and he must be tired now. So, in the Khanqah of Hazrat Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, they didn't have a stove, a gas stove, or electric stove. They used to have wood and they would burn the wood. So, one of the khadims, it was his duty to light the fire. So he went out and he couldn't find any sort of grass or... So he found some leaves and things that were... it was the season at the time. The leaves were falling and then he brought these leaves back. Hazrat asked him, where did you get these leaves? He said, outside on the road, I picked them up. Hazrat said, you can't use them. Why? I've just picked them up off the road. He said, no, the road does not belong to us. It belongs to the council. And so the trees that grow on the side of the road belong to the council. And when these leaves, they fall off the tree and you're picking them up, they don't belong to me and you. They actually belong to the council. So you can't use the leaves to start the fire because you'll have used something that doesn't actually belong to us. Level of taqwa. Level of understanding that this does not belong to me. Even the dry leaves. Hazrat Shah Sahib Qureshi Damat Barakatuh, when he came just before Ramadan, and he mentioned another incident. I don't remember the name of this individual. He came to Hazrat and he said, Hazrat, I want to do khidmat in the Khanqah. So Hazrat said to him, well, you know, take the cattle, take them for grazing, then bring them back. So on the first day when he went out, he took the cattle and he was coming back. Hazrat took a jug of water and went with that jug of water to meet this individual bringing back the cattle after grazing. And because they were passing through another field. So when they came, their Hazrat washed the legs of the animals. So he asked, he said, Hazrat, how is that? So Hazrat said, the soil, the mitti that is now attached to the legs of the animals that you took to graze don't belong to us. It belongs in the other field which belongs to someone else. Level of understanding that this does not belong to me. What? Even soil. And if a person is that cautious, then don't you think there'll be light in his khanqah? And when the murids come, they'll be lit up.
Allah!
Subhanallah. Absolutely. So when the sheikh is lit up and the murids are lit up, then what can you say? Mubarak was lit up. I keep coming back to Mubarak because he is Mubarak. Ajib Naheem. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. I still haven't finished Mubarak's story. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits, we'll finish it. I'm just prolonging it. Most of you know the story already. Some of you don't. Then just wait for it. Be patient. Everything comes with patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the rest of this month beneficial for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reap benefit from every moment in this Mubarak month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our major sins, minor sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to become better individuals. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
Thank you.
صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Focus upon your heart, contemplate the mercy, coming down upon the heart. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا. A request for duas for a cousin sister of my wife. She's quite ill and is in hospital. Make dua for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a complete shifa and keep her with afia. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.